Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Now shifting gears completely, yeah, I think into a positive conversation after all of that. So we have in studio the CEO of Afrobotics. His name is David Pume, who is doing amazing things in the technology space. And we'll talk all about that now. And maybe we'll also talk about, you know, what it means to you and I, ordinary folks who have no idea. I went through some of his work and I'm thinking, I don't know what he's talking about, but it sounds interesting. And that's why you're here. Thank you so much for coming through, David. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Pumelo, for such a warm welcome, and good evening to your viewers.
There are things I caught on some of the work that you do, Afrofuturists, and I thought, what on earth are they talking about? So let's talk about Afrobotics. What do you guys do there?
So Afrobotics is a tech company that's built on two pillars. The first one, obviously, being a commercial business. Mm-hmm. But we're also very passionate about our R&D side, which mm-hmm. is research and development. Mm-hmm. We are building a robotics lab.
Yeah.
We are fortunate to, you know, partner with, you know, MICT CETA. And we're also partnering with a number of universities. So our mission is very clear, it's quite, you know, a big one, but yeah. It's to make our country technologically independent.
Mm.
The problems that we are facing as a nation, if you look at it, are mainly because, you know, there's a lack of skills in our country, mm-hmm. Especially in technology. So with the labs, we want to create an environment where, you know, we can have young people that can come in and learn,
mm-hmm.
And experiment and, and build new technologies.
So I mean, sometimes people would say, yeah, why the Afrocentric, advancements are important. What is it that would differentiate between the work that you do and something that happens in Silicon Valley? You have that Silicon Valley experience.
Yes. Let me start with my experience, you know, in tech and in business. And that is, you know, in my 20s. I had a lot of, you know, failed startups, notably in Silicon Valley. I remember, you know, after about four failed startups, I was like, I need to reinvent and pivot. And, you know, it's very fancy to think about the American dream and build a business in Silicon Valley. Yes, there's funding, there's all of those things. But one needs to have a mission where your goal needs to be tied to doing something for the community or for the world. So it wasn't only about, you know, coming up with a fancy business, but it was now, how do I solve a problem where I come from, which is South Africa? So then that's how Afrobotics came about. And basically the problem that we're trying to solve is, you know, we need to be independent when it comes to technology. If you look at where our problems started as a nation, and I'll talk about the, you know, our continent, colonization was merely because, well, it happened because of lack of technology on our side. So what enabled the Europeans to colonize us is because of how they applied, you know, gunpowder. And had we had the know-how in technology, I don't think we would have been colonized. So we face a problem that's mainly economic in our country, in the continent. And if you really drill down, it is mainly because of the lack of skills in technology. So a country without An army of scientists, an army of technologists, is a country that will always be enslaved. So, yeah, that has been the drive.
So you're a tech company, but are there specific sectors who you want to hone in on to solve those problems?
Yes. So there's four very important facets in technology that we will be focusing on with our labs. And the first one, obviously, is AI. It's robotics. There's also aerospace engineering, quantum computing. And there's also a fifth one, which is nuclear power generation. So those are the main technologies that I think Africa needs to be focusing on.
And you obviously are at the genesis of something quite exciting, and you speak of R&D and the lack of skills that are, you know, obviously evidently not present in this country. How much time do you think we have to develop those skills with the kind of sector that moves so quickly, as obviously you would know? I don't have to tell you.
Yeah. I think, you know, in our country, we have a problem of not being patient when it comes to building stuff, right? So we have a culture of business, and if someone says this is going to take 10 years to build, it's like, oh, it's a no-go. We don't have time for that. But I'll make an example with ChatGPT, for instance. It started off as an R&D program at OpenAI. Yes, with billions and billions of dollars of investment, but the idea was not a commercial goal whereby, oh, you guys need to build this thing. You have less than, you know, 3 years or 5 years. They didn't even know what they were building, but they were just tinkering with AI. And that gave birth to ChatGPT. I mean, ChatGPT is one of the most amazing technology that humans have ever invented. So I don't think we should be more focused on how long it takes. R&D normally takes, you know, decades. You know, it's 10 years, it's 20 years, it's 30 years. I'll make an example with aerospace engineering. Right now we have a problem with we don't have a Starlink, you know, in our country, right? We don't have any satellites in space that belong to us. How long would it take for us to, you know, launch a rocket into space? It would probably take us 15 years, 20 years. But does that mean we shouldn't do it? No. We should. I mean, if you look, 10 years ago was just yesterday. But had we started and, you know, put in the effort, you know, to put a rocket in space and launch a satellite, then we would be better off.
Is there an appetite for South African investors to go the long haul, as you're saying? You know, what makes Silicon Valley great is that, as you said, investors are there, and people understand that, you know, you need time and you need to sometimes fail. How difficult is it to raise that kind of capital here?
Look, it's very difficult. I mean, you look at the Department of Science and Innovation. I mean, the budget that's allocated to them is just less than 10 billion rands. That's a fraction of a billion dollars. And yes, you would have interest from, you know, private sector, but this is something that would need the government, right? So you would need to have a leadership that would be brave enough to change policies. I'll make an example with a country like Taiwan, with a population of just about 25 million people. Very small country, but they have managed to come from a developing country to being one of the superstar countries simply because they are one of the best semiconductor developers and manufacturers in the world. So the whole world is almost like depending on Taiwan. So I think, and they had the support from the government. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of policy changes with retaining talent. You had a lot of talent that was, you know, around the world. Mm-hmm. They came back to Taiwan and they were retained in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So we also have an issue of retaining talent in our country.
I was going to ask you that, yeah.
We also have a problem of retaining our talent. But it's an issue that has to be solved with the help of our government and our leadership.
So do we have enough talent here? If we could retain it?
I believe we do. I mean, the exercise that we, going with right now is to actually try to see how much talent do we have and also measure our skills. So I would say we have talent, but most of the talent is fragmented around the world. So we need to, work on mechanisms to, retain the talent and incentivize the talent and keep them in the country. So we do have the talent.
So what exciting projects are you working on? You spoke about your passion for R&D in your own firm. What are you working on?
So I am a roboticist. Mm-hmm. So the most exciting project that we're working on is the robotics lab. And the reason why it's exciting, I mean, it's for the reasons that I've just that I mentioned. I'm very passionate about our country and having traveled the world and seeing how, developed other countries are. And also with what's happening in the world right now, you have Trump waking up one day and saying, there's no more aid for this country, for your country. Mm. You could wake up one day and say, look, we are cutting off these technologies.
Yeah.
We're cutting off Google and the internet for you guys. So, and it's a reality. Mm. And I think, as a nation, we are oblivious to... Mm-hmm.
How reliant we are.
How reliant we are and how dire the situation is.
Yeah.
And it's... You waking up every day, you have a phone, you have a car, you can travel, you can do all sorts of things. It just creates an illusion that, you live in a first world country where there is everything and nothing could go wrong.
Mm.
But I think with this Trump dispensation, it has proven that, things are very fragile. We are very fragile. So I think I'm very passionate about, making sure that where I come from, we can be a powerful country. And it takes, a number of young people that are dedicated to, building things and making sure that, we are successful as a country.
Are you guys collaborating? Or are you all working in silos?
That's a very important question. So collaboration is very important, right? And the conversation that we're having now is not a new conversation. Mm. A lot of people are having this conversation across the continent.
Mm.
But it's very, fragmented, So we are collaborating with the government. I mean, MICT, CETA, the Department of Science and Innovation through, other instruments, the universities as well.
Mm.
So there is collaboration, but we need to build mechanics that, will allow us to almost operate as one mind and with one goal.
Mm. So from where you sit right now, are you in an environment where you're easily, I'm going to use a controversial, are you trusted easily? Here's a black firm that is competing in the kind of space where, as you said, global players are playing. You've got people who think if it's African, it's not good enough. Do you get that cynicism a lot, or is it, do people welcome you with sort of like, you can provide us with different insights, fresh ideas.
Yeah, I think as black innovators and entrepreneurs, we get that a lot across the world. We experience the same thing in Silicon Valley. In Silicon Valley, you have to be a male, white, from Stanford, to be trusted. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain profile of the trusted ones.
Yeah.
It takes a certain shape, you know, in Africa as well,
mm-hmm.
In our country. And I mean, we as black people, we perpetuate the same idea as well when we hire people or when you get, suppliers. If there are a certain color of skin, then you tend to have more trust in them. But then I think also it has to do with the work that you do that can save you from, that stigma.
Yeah. The kinds of things that young people are learning in school, you engage with CETAs, you engage with universities. Are we at the right level?
You mean our education?
Our education. Is it providing the right skills for what we require to advance in robotics, for instance?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a difference between, obviously there would be a difference between someone that is trained at MIT versus someone that's trained in our local universities.
Sure.
But then also...
For
any sector. So I would say that we are not there yet.
Yeah.
And as part of our strategy, and this is what Taiwan and other countries have done as well, including China and India, they would send a number of engineers to train, overseas, and then come back with the knowledge.
Mm.
So I think that's one of the strategies that we have to deploy as well. Mm. I would say... yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
For the yes, I would speak mainly about the gifted ones, right?
Yeah.
So I'll make an example with, and this is something that we need to do, as a nation, to find the gifted ones, There's a guy called Peter Beck from the Netherlands with no formal education, but he managed to... found a company that is directly competing with SpaceX, and that is Rocket Labs. And this is a chap that, built rockets, in his teens. And now he runs that, billion-dollar rocket ship company. So I think we also need to, in terms of education, we also need to be able to identify those young people that have the raw talent in them and just nurture them,
Yeah, but we also need to see ourselves in others, right? So if people hear you, you are Pome, you are not, a Peters.
A Peter Beck.
that means, it's possible. What was your vision specifically for Afrobotics? What was your own internal vision for this company?
Yeah, so the vision was to start with robotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the name says, Afrobotics. And I personally started, tinkering with robotics and these things that I have built and started, putting a team of people together. And with robotics... robotics comes with a number of facets in technology. So the first one would be chemical engineering, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, mechatronics, AI as well. So the vision was to build an outlet that is the go-to for AI and robotics. And that was like 5 years ago, before AI became, you know, a buzzword today.
And has the change, the vision remained? In other words, 5 years from now, where do you want the company to go?
So 5 years from now, as I said, you know, the vision hasn't changed, but it has evolved.
Yes.
We are building a lab. In 5-10 years from now, we want to see more labs around, you know, the country. So you would have a lab in robotics, a lab in aerospace engineering, in AI, and in nuclear, you know, energy generation, and the others. So that's the goal.
And in terms of the companies that you would be working with, partners, what kind of services would you be providing to them, apart from your own projects?
You mean the services that
we would be providing commercially?
So currently the service that we provide is mainly cloud computing at the moment. So we have not commercialized the robotics R&D because it's still in the R&D stage, in the R&D phase. And because it's R&D, we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where now we have stringent goals to say, hey guys, in the next 5 years, we should be commercializing this because, you know, that's not how it works.
Totally get it. Are you optimistic? We've spoken about realistic challenges that are obviously for a developing country like ours, where government also has other priorities and, you know, funding is scarce and all of that. You are back here now. Are you optimistic?
I have to be optimistic. If I wasn't optimistic, you know, I wouldn't be doing this. And you need people that are optimistic. But I also, we also have to be cognizant of the challenges that we are facing, and you know, talent is one of them, and this is all around the world, and funding is also one of them, but we have to start somewhere, you know, and you know, the talent issue is all around the world. I mean, Meta is offering researchers something like $100 million for one researcher, $100 million. And that just goes to show how competitive they are in terms of, you know, talent acquisition. So we have to be optimistic. There are problems. There's instances where we don't know how we are going to go over, you know, a certain hurdle. But we have to remain optimistic.
I've just internalized what you've just said, and I'm thinking, as you go through those challenges, you're thinking, you know, I could take that job at Meta and leave all of this right now, and I'd be just fine. I'm sure there are many moments like that, right?
Absolutely.
Listen, it was absolutely wonderful talking to you. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you so much.
As I said, you know, sometimes it takes seeing one to believing that it's possible. So you are an inspiration, and thank you so much for coming through this evening.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
David Pume is the CEO at Robotics, Afrobotics.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.